and take your word and turn to 2 Samuel 20. 2 Samuel 20, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 26. This is the word of the Lord. Now a worthless fellow happened to be there whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew the trumpet and said, "We have no portion in David, nor do we have an inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So all the men of Israel withdrew from following David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah remained steadfast to their king from the Jordan even to Jerusalem. And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, the concubines whom he had left to keep the house, and placed them under guard and provided them with sustenance, but did not go into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living as widows. And the king said to Amasa, "Call out the men of Judah for me within 3 days and be present here yourself." So Amasa went to call out the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him so that he does not find for himself fortified cities and escape from our sight." So Joab's men went out after him along with the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men. And they went out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they were at the large stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Now Joab was dressed in his military attire, and over it was a belt with a sword and its sheath fastened at his waist. And as he went forward, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, Is it well with you, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa was not on guard against the sword, which was in Joab's hand, the left hand. So he struck him in the belly with it and poured out his inward parts on the ground and did not strike him again, and he died. And Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba, the son of Bichri. Another stood by him, one of Joab's young men, and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, let him follow Joab." But Amasa lay wallowing in his blood in the middle of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa from the highway into the field and threw a garment over him when he saw that everyone who came by him stood still. As he was removed from the highway, all the men passed on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. Now he went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel, with even Beth Maacah and all the Berites, and they were gathered together and also went after him. They came and besieged him in Abel and Beth Maacah, and they cast up a siege ramp against the city. And it stood by the rampart, and all the people who were with Joab were wreaking destruction in order to topple the wall. Then a wise woman called from the city, "Here, here, please tell Joab, come here that I may speak with you." So he approached her, and the woman said, "Are you Joab?" And he answered, "I am." And she said to him, "Listen to the words of your maidservant." And he answered, "I am listening." And she spoke, saying, "Formerly they used to say they will surely ask advice at Abel." And thus they ended the dispute. "I am of those who are peaceable and faithful in Israel. You are seeking to destroy a city, even a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" Joab replied, Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. Such is not the case, but a man from the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, has lifted up his hand against King David. Only hand him over, and I will depart from the city." And the woman said to Joab, "Behold, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." Then the woman wisely came to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they were dispersed from the city, each to his tent. Joab also returned to the king at Jerusalem. Now Joab was over the whole army of Israel, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And Adoram was over the forced labor, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was the recorder. And Sheva was scribe, Zadok and Abiathar were priests, and Ira the Jerite was also a priest to David. And that is God's word. Now Sheba is somewhat the focal point of this chapter as David is returning to Jerusalem. And Sheba is a worthless man. It says, why? Because he had rejected Yahweh's anointed king. It's the same story that we've seen over and over again, even since the beginning of Scripture, rejecting Yahweh's authority. And we see it still today in ourselves. We see it in others. We see it especially in the world. But in the church, we see it, and it should be rebuked, as we've seen parts of the Scriptures. And then we're given, in verse 3, a very sad statement. As David returns to Jerusalem, his concubines are put in isolation, provided for and kept, but treated like widows for the rest of their lives. And it was David's fault, leading back to his idolatry with Bathsheba, that results in what happens here. And they receive those results for the rest of their lives. Christians, you know, you as well, some of you more than others know that what it is to have your lives affected due to other people's sins. In the church, the Scriptures are clear that our sins, you know, my sin affects your sin affects me. It affects everyone in the church in some way. It affects those, affects others around us when we sin, whether they know it or not. And when all is said and done, there's no help. There's no help for it except in the one who sent to bind up the brokenhearted and in the hands, and in the hand that promises to wipe away the tears from our faces, Jesus Christ. And we see here the treachery of Joab. He's butchered Abner in chapter 3, Absalom, two chapters ago, and here again, Amasa. We learn again that Joab's strengths are treachery and blood, and he is successful at these things. By the end of the chapter, he's back in authority over the whole army of Israel. And now applying this to the church today, Joab is like many a church member. He's amongst Israel. You know, he's of Israel. He's now part of that. And Joab is God's children. We think of God's children are those who acknowledge and submit to the Lord's sovereignty and his will. And Joab is one who does not submit to the king's sovereignty and will. And Jesus tells us, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And Joab is one who is part of the kingdom, kingdom of David, who follows him, and yet often does not submit to the king. And so it is the same with the church member who thinks that when they don't submit to the Lord, that they'll still enter into the kingdom of heaven. At the end of the chapter, we see Sheba is put to death, though through a clever woman in Abel. And over, we're seeing in Samuel that the kingdom of the Lord on earth is full of corruption. It's fragile, yet the kingdom is still standing from attacks from within and without. And we're reminded of that God's kingdom here is forever. And so with that, let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you. We do thank you that your kingdom, though on earth it seems fragile and there's corruption, even in the church, we see even leaders in the church, pastors and elders who are corrupt and are seeking money rather than you or seeking other things. And Father, we ask that you would preserve our congregation from that. But Father, we ask that you would show us that though that your church here on earth is fragile and there is corruption within it in some places, the true church is perfect in Christ. That those who truly come to faith in Christ will be brought into a heavenly kingdom. And that kingdom is not fragile at all. The true kingdom of God is not fragile. It is eternal. And even the church, you say not even the gates of hell can come against it or destroy it. And so, Father, we praise you. We thank you for your preservation of us, preserving us each day, each step, each thought, and each second, even while we sleep. Father, we do praise you for your salvation, that you have given us a salvation in Christ by faith. You are the God who reigns and rules over our hearts and our minds and over our bodies. We thank you that Bob and Marie are able to be here this evening, and Marie is feeling better. And I ask that you would continually preserve her and her heart. I ask that you would heal those with cancer, heal those with tendon and bone issues and allergies and respiratory issues. Father, heal them, that they would have these problems no longer. And yet if they continue to have them, by your will, Father, we ask that they would be trained by them, as the book of Hebrews teaches. And as they are a discipline of us, that we would be sanctified through them, through all our illnesses, and which show our weakness. And yet in our weakness, we know that you are strong and your grace is sufficient. Father, we do pray for those governing authorities over us, kings and rulers and all in authority, even fathers and husbands, parents. Father, we ask that you would save their souls, that you would give us peace, that you would give us the freedom to worship you, that we would not be content in what we have, but that we would be content in you and continually pursue you. Give us strength to do so by your Spirit, and cause us to see your glory. Cause us to see your majesty. Cause us to see your Son. We pray in his name. Amen.